give us the strength to follow your word, the courage to live your word, the opportunity to share your word. We love you on today, Lord. Thank you for this blueprint, which is called the Bible. Thank you for this roadmap, which is called the Word of God. So we don't have to guess how to live. You left instructions, Lord. We know that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That holy men of God wrote the Bible as you told them what to write. And thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you for those men that were obedient to share the word of God so that we might know how to live. Speak to us now, Lord. We love you for it and we bless you for this word. We know that your word is truth and your word is life and your word is light. We bless your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll do a quick review and then we'll get right into Ephesians chapter 5. Our theme for this year, this month, is being spirit, living spirit filled, because we are spirit sealed. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. So there should be a difference in how we live and how we act and how we walk and how we talk. There should have been some type of difference at your job today or this week, in your home today, what you did last night, what you did this week, because you are spirit filled and spirit sealed. So there should be some type of difference. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 30. Miss Natalie, and we're going to be jumping around everywhere, Natalie, so be ready to roll with your pastor. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." So don't stress out. I hope you didn't stress out. I'm not going to take a survey or a poll this morning on how many of you stressed out the Holy Spirit of God this week from Sunday to Sunday. Right, Sister Tara? We're not going to take a poll on that, because we know the Holy Spirit was saying no, no, no. And then we still went and did what we wanted to do. That's how you grieve. That's how you stress out the Holy Spirit. Some people call it a conscience. But those of us that follow God, we know that's God's still small voice telling us what to do, where to go, what to say, what not to say. The Holy Spirit leads, guides, and teaches us each and every day. Then in verse 31, it kind of showed how we are to display that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Then in verse 32, it gave us the flip side, how we should be kind one to another. Somebody say amen. Amen. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted, let compassion fill your heart, not the anger, not the bitterness, but the compassion. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Somebody say amen. Amen. We sure don't want God to treat us the way that we treat other people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then we looked at Ephesians 4 and 22, and it told us put off the old man, which is defective. The old person, the person that we were born to be, or when we were born, that person was defective according to the model that it came out of. The model that it followed was Adam's model, and which was corrupt according to the deceitful lust. That's the old defective model. It only wants to get, and take. Right. It only wants to use people. Only wants to hurt. It wants to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the old model. Then in verse 23, it tells us that we have to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we have to be renovated. our mind needs an extreme home makeover. It all starts in the mind. Said it before, the old folks, that's why the old folks will tell you, you need to go get your mind right. Because it all starts right there. Get the mind right, the behavior, the body will follow. That's scripture. Your mind needs to be renovated. We need to get our minds right. That's why we're talking about praying and fasting each morning. And we're going to talk about it some more as we go through the course of the word this morning. But that's the only way. If you want to be new, if you want to be different, then you have to do what you've always done. Well, they say if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to get what you always got. But in order to go to another level in God, you're going to have to do something that you've never done before. And so you have to ask yourself the question, how bad do I want to be new? How desperate am I to find out what God has for my life? Let me say that. Hear what I'm saying. Because when I go all out for God, then God can reveal what he has for my life. How bad do I want to know what God has for my life? It's one thing when we have fear of failure. Well, I'm not going to do it because I might fail. But then the other side, that's the fear of success, where I don't do it because what if I'm successful? What if I start living right? Can I maintain it? No, you can't, but God in you can. The Holy Spirit that's filled and sealed, you can. But how bad do you want to be the person that God has created you to be? Family, we should be at the point now in 2015 that we don't want to miss anything that God has for us. That's where you and I should be at. I'm so convinced that if I live for God, that he'll show me what he has for me. And so I'm going to live for God. Because I want to see it. I don't want to be here where God would have wanted me there. I'm here doing my thing where God wanted me here doing what he's called me to do. And you got to ask yourself in 2015 and beyond, how bad do you want what God has for you? That's where we pick up the lesson today. Look at Ephesians 5:5 as we continue on. First, he breaks it down, and we kind of talked about it last week. He said, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, and that man comes from the word anthropos, which means anthropology, which means where we get the word anthropology, which means any human. So it says man, but it includes men and women. Ladies, so you're not off the hook with this one. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, a greedy man who worships money, has any inheritance, underline inheritance, in the kingdom of God and of Christ and of God. So make a note that God has an inheritance for his people. You're going to find out in just a minute there's two families. There's the children of God, and then there's the children of disobedience. And you belong to one or the other. And if you're not sure, by default, you probably belong to the other. Right. Verse 6 says, let no man deceive you with empty words. Wow. That's the test. Don't let any man, don't let any woman deceive you with empty words. So ladies, be on guard. Don't let some man deceive you with empty words, whatever he is talking about. That's why you need to know the word of God so you can know what's full and what's empty. And by vice versa, men, don't let a lady, because that's the same word, which means a human being. Men, don't let some lady seduce. Deceive is an interchangeable word, which means to seduce or to deceive. Don't let some lady seduce or deceive you with empty words. And then ladies, make sure you're not the lady trying to seduce the man. And then men, make sure you're not the man trying to seduce the ladies. Right. Make sure that's not you. With empty words. And students, you go to school and they tell you about this Big Bang Theory. See, that's empty stuff. That the planets just came together and boom, and you get all this beauty. They say that's like going to a junkyard and throwing the junk pieces together and getting a nice Mercedes-Benz or something. Yeah, give it a try. And even with the Big Bang, so if someone says, you know, it was the planets came together, it's this thing in apologetics, and Pastor Manny knows, it's called the first cause. Even if it was a Big Bang, who caused the Big Bang? Right. Something had to cause the Big Bang. Right. See, now you're the weird one again. That's okay. I don't mind being the weird one. Yeah. It's called the first cause. Something had to cause the Big Bang, even if you believe that. So don't let people, the word said, don't let people deceive you with empty words. Know your word. The deception is strong. The spiritual warfare is real. Don't let them deceive you. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain or empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So now you see that those are the workers of disobedience. It's only two families. Either you're the children of God or you're the children of disobedience. Verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't hang out with folks who's talking empty words, who's about nothing. In 2015, you can't afford to waste any more time with folks that aren't about anything. Want to live their life based on empty words and not the power of God. Inside the church or outside the church, because remember, Paul is talking to the church here. Don't waste any more time with folks like that. But then Paul breaks it down in verse 8. I love this. He said, but for you were sometimes darkness. And that word sometimes mean once. You know, you were once darkness. You weren't born in that suit, okay? Yeah, sometimes we get so holy we forget that we were born. Like we were just grown-ups all the time and we had it all together. So Paul, he checks us. He says, you know, you were one time. Don't try. You weren't always that holy. Once you were in darkness too. We all were in darkness. Oh, but look, it's amazing. As I was studying this, remember, we don't come to church for information. We come for revelation. Look at the revelation in this. Paul sums up our whole life in verse 8. Your whole life. For you were sometimes darkness, but now, underline now, you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What's our past? Our past was darkness. Now we're light. What's our future? Walk as children of light. Your whole past, present, and future summed up in one verse. You were dark, but now you're light. Continue to live in the light. It's your past, your present, and your future. How do the details work out? Leave that up to God. Your job is to leave the past, but you have to remember, okay, yeah, I was. I show compassion. I don't give up on anybody. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your parents. Don't give up on your friends, because we were once darkness. But thank God he chose us out of darkness into the marvelous light. But have a heart, because we know what it's like. If you've ever been addicted to anything, drugs or alcohol, and you were in the darkness and you were deceived, you know how empty that was. That should cause your heart to really have compassion and pity on those, because you know how empty that is. Don't care what it looks like. Care what it looks like, you know, because we were, thank God that we still have the memory that we can understand that we were there. And then thank God for our presence, which says, now we are light. Somebody say amen. Amen. And then what's our future? What should your future be like? You should walk as children of light. Sums up our entire life. We should be walking in the light. And how do you do it? I'm gonna share it with you again. So how do you start transforming into light? And it's through your prayer and fasting each morning. And I'm gonna challenge you, just 5 minutes a day. Wow, how bad do you want God that you would give God, the creator of everything, 5 minutes a day? That's funny. That God should even have to ask for 5 minutes a day. Think about it during the week when you wake up upset. That's the wrong perspective. You actually woke up.
All right.
And you're upset because you got to get up and go to work. Yeah, that's the wrong. We got to change our whole mindset. First thing you do, your knees hit the floor and you say, God, thank you for waking me up. Find yourself a 5 minute worship song. Find yourself a 5 minute, one of your favorite worship songs, and hopefully you have one. And 1 minute you praise God, which means you thank God for waking you up. You thank God for your life, your kids, for this, that. The other minute you worship God, you recognize who He is. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He provides. Another minute you find that scripture we talked about, Ephesians 1 and 13, and we're asking for insight and being spirit filled and being spirit sealed. Where are we at? Is that 3 minutes?
4 minutes.
That was four?
That was three.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Vinny. So in that fourth minute, you meditate on that scripture. God, give me insight, my job, my relationship, my family, my kids, cover. And then you pray and ask God, God, lead and guide me today. Keep me from sin. Keep me from getting caught up with the wrong crowd. Save me from myself. Give me wisdom. And that's every day. See, because what I find out is that when I wake up like that, then spiritually I'm alert. God gives you insight. You see things coming. You don't go for the okie doke, as they say. You don't get caught up in stuff. Remember, two people come into your life for two reasons, either to help you push you closer to your purpose in God or to take you away from it. You pray like that each morning. Hear what I'm saying, 5 minutes. Then you're able to see as people come into your life, oh, whoa, yeah, not today. And you're able to see it. And so it's, you know, it's kind of like when you're trying to get in shape. You know, you work out and you eat right. And then you go smoke some crack. It doesn't make sense, does it? You spend time in prayer, you're loving God, and then you go commit sin. It doesn't make sense. You go and get that triple cheeseburger, large order fries, and a Diet Coke. I remember growing up with the guys and they're smoking and drinking and then they take a multivitamin. Dude, I got, come on, man, you're kidding, right? You're really interested in your health? It's just when I find that you spend that time with God, you're so sensitive and you don't just want to run to sin, you actually run from it. And that's daily. That's how you walk in the light. That's how bad do you want to walk in the light? How close do you want to get to God? Because He's there. But it's just up to me now. Do I want to really live a life that's that close to God? And that's where we have the choice. All right, look at verse 9. It talks about, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So we're going to come back to the fruit of the Spirit in just a minute. But when you're living in goodness and rightness and truth, then you prove, you're testing what is acceptable unto the Lord. Put God to the test. If I live right, God, and that's acceptable, then show me what you have for me as I'm living right. Verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's why people don't want you to come around when you're when your light is shining and you're living right, because then you expose. Light always exposes the darkness. It's tough. They don't want you to even talk about. You can say a lot of things, but don't say Jesus, because the truth exposes the light. Why do you think it's such an attack on the church today? Because darkness does not want to be exposed. Verse 12, it says, "For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Boy, darkness never wants to be exposed. It is a shame to even talk about some of the things. Well, we don't have to go back too far, because we once were darkness. So he already laid that foundation. Yeah. Just think about some of the things you and I used to do. Somebody say, "God, help us." Somebody say, "Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the grace. Thank God for the newness of life. Thank God that we are light, and now that we're walking as children of light." That's why it's so important to walk as children of light, because God has done so much for us. Oh, and that is a beautiful thing. But here he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So if you would, let's look at the fruit. Take a quick look at the fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians. It's 5 and 22. But of course, Natalie, I'm going to start at 5 and 19, because I always get distracted when I'm trying to study. So we're called to be filled with the fruit, which is through the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. God is calling us to be fruit, not a fruit snack, not watered down fruit juice. But we are to be fruit. Paul gives us a comparison. And it goes back. Remember, we talked about it last week. You can't have the love without the holiness. Yes, God is love, but God is holy. You can't just be parked in love as if God is going to ignore the unfruitful works of darkness. You can't say he's love and that's it. No, he makes it plain. Oh, boy. Verse 19. "Now the works of the flesh." So this is a self-examination, so we can find out where we really are. So I'm examining myself as I go through this. You're examining yourself. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." It's even more. "Of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do or which practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Underline, inherit the kingdom of God. That is my goal. That is your goal. We want to inherit the kingdom of God. All right. So we're going to take a pause right here. All right. So, Natalie, go to Revelations 20 and 11. And we'll go to 2015. So we're talking about the inheritance. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here we go. I'm going to tell you this because the word tells it to me. And it tells us that all roads lead to God. But they do not. So start a conversation with your coworkers. "You know, my pastor told me that all roads lead to God." They go, "Oh yeah, I know that. Oh yeah, I'm so happy they do." Yeah, right. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no and there was found no place for them. Take it to the next one. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. See, all roads do lead to God. They do. But they do not lead to the inheritance. They do not lead to the kingdom of God. And all roads do not lead to eternal life with God. But all roads do lead to God. The great and the small. If your bank account is great or if it's small like mine, I still got to stand before God. Amen? Amen. So I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about my lifestyle. I'm worried about if I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Because all roads do lead to God, but they do not lead to eternal life, the inheritance that God has for you. And they do not lead to the kingdom of God. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, plural. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in those books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the dead in hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Wow. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So we all stand before God. You get your name written into the book of life. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your name's written in the book of life. And here's a revelation for this one, Kathy. I said, we need to get a shirt made up. Revelation, what year is it? 2015. Oh, I love it. Get the shirt. Revelation 2015, and then on the back it says, read it. Read what? Oh, Revelation 2015. What is Revelation 20? And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast. Oh my gosh. Wow. Those are outreach shirts. When we go out to the community in 2015, Revelation 2015, read it. That's powerful right there. Somebody say amen. Amen. But all roads do not lead to eternal life, the inheritance that God has for us, or the kingdom of God. And let's go back to Galatians 5 and 22. So you have this world that we live in where the works of the flesh wants to try and dominate your life, but the fruit of the spirit. We know that when we walk in the light, it exposes the darkness. The darkness doesn't want to be exposed. So it's tough being a Christian because they want us to be politically correct. PC. I kind of came up with another name. We, as Christians, we're not supposed to be politically correct. We're not supposed to be PC. We're not supposed to be punk Christians. So. We can't be PC. You don't be a PC, don't be PC or APC. Excuse my language, amen. Praise the Lord, family. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Praise the Lord, family. But we're here to expose the darkness. But look at what it says in Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit, at first it talked about the works of the flesh and how they do not inherit the kingdom of God. If you practice those things, and only you and I know what we practice. And God, that's why those books are open, and God's going to open the book, and he's going to judge you according to what you practice, what you were about. He's going to look at your heart. He's going to see this is what you really were about. And only you and God know that. I love the way he set it up. That's why we don't need to judge anybody. We are fruit inspectors, but we don't judge. That's between you and God. That's why you have to spend your time with God to make sure your relationship is right with God. It's the way he set it up. We all have the free will to live one way or the other. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, remember, it's not fruits, it's fruit. Because God's Spirit is in you, these things are already in you. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law against living right. There is no law against living right and serving God. It's not. People will hate on you. People won't like it, but there's no law against it. And a few key words with the fruit of the Spirit. Of course, we know that the joy is the calm delight. Long-suffering, where you can go the extra mile. And all the married folks said amen. Amen. Oh, I tell you. I mean, when you operate, I told you. You just have, God's equipped us with, as a married couple, that you have to practice these things every day. Amen. If you want to know where you stand, get married, and it'll show you whether you, the work of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit. You'll find out the first day. So for the singles, you need to be practicing these things now, so as God is preparing you and you're praying that God would send you someone that's filled with the fruit of the Spirit so that they can deal with you. And so that you can deal with them. Because it is a two-way street. Verse 23 says, meekness, which is humble. You, family, we have to be humble because we know it's only by the grace of God that we live and move and have our being. We can't take credit for anything. Can't even take credit for getting up this morning. If God didn't say so, we wouldn't even be up this morning. Just think about it. I mean, you all know, I listen to the news each morning as I'm getting dressed, and just the crazy stuff that happens. Accident last night, off the road, two people just gone. That could have been you and I. How many of you drove this weekend, or you rode in the car this weekend? We can't even take credit for that. If it wasn't the grace of God, we wouldn't be here. That's why we stay humble. It all goes back to God when you understand it. That's why you wake up and you give God at least 5 minutes and you start off thanking him because you got up this morning. And then the other one is temperance, which we know is defined in the Greek as self-control. God's given us self-control. The devil can't make you do nothing. Nobody can make you do nothing. You have self-control because you have the fruit of the Spirit, which is included. It's all inclusive. I know some of you have been on those, I haven't been there yet, but some of you have been on those big time vacations where everything is all inclusive. Your food is included. Everything's included. You just show up. You don't have to do nothing but enjoy it. And that's how it is. When you get filled with the Spirit, it's all inclusive. And then you have the choice how you want to live. Do you want to live meek and with self-control, with the peace of God that passes all understanding? Do I want to forgive my spouse because I have the capacity because I'm filled with God's Holy Spirit? Do I want to love? Do I want to be gentle and kind and tender-hearted? Do I want to? Remember, that's how we walk. That's our future. Walk as children of light. Yes, yes. That's how we know if we're walking, because we're filled with these fruit right here. Verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust, with the desire. So your desires can't tell you what to do. Once, some time ago, when we were in darkness, we lived by what our desires and our lusts told us to do. But now that we're filled with the Spirit, they can't tell us anything. They can't make us do anything. Verse 25, I love it. It says, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. That's Spirit-filled and Spirit-sealed. God's given us everything to walk this walk. We just have to want to walk the walk. That's why he told us, go you therefore and make disciples and teach them. Go everywhere, because we're Spirit-filled and we can. We are equipped, and it's a way to do it. Verse 26, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Stop hating, stop being conceited in the church. Stop hating on your brother and sister. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, let's see if we can finish this up. Let's go back to Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 and 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's where we're going to pick it up next week. Let us pray. Lord, how we thank you for today, Lord. Thank you that despite wanting to take credit for certain things, Lord, we really can take credit for nothing. Can't even take credit for our own salvation, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we didn't care about you, you went on that cross and you died for us, because you knew that there would be a time when we would want to have a relationship with God. Thank you, Christ, for being the bridge, but we can't take credit for our salvation, for our justification, for our sanctification. God, apart from you, we can do nothing, and apart from you, we are nothing, but with you, all things are possible to them that believe. So God, as you're challenging us to grow up in 2015 and spread the message of Revelation 2015, whosoever name was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us of any sins we committed knowingly or unknowingly, try to pretend didn't happen, try to cover up. Thank you that it's covered with the blood, Lord. Thank you that you summed up our whole life, our past, present, and future. That right now we are the children of light, and that we should be walking in the light as you are light. We thank you for that, Lord. We're so grateful for all you've done for us, all the open doors, all the blessings, Lord. We receive them, Lord, as we walk in your light. We don't put them above you, Lord. We thank you for them. So, Lord, we're praying right now. Someone might be here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I don't know if my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, you can know for sure this morning. If you've never accepted Christ, I'd like to pray for you. Elevate your hand. You don't have to guess. That's why we have the word. That's why we have the blueprint. You can know today that you are saved. Yes. And that your name is written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Yes. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I really just need to rededicate my life. 2015 just feels like an extension of 2014, and it just was no break at all. Pastor, I need to rededicate my life and get on track in 2015. If that's you, I'd love to pray for you. Elevate your hand. I want to rededicate your life. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need a church home. I got to plant my feet somewhere. From the worship to the word, the love of the people, this is just a church where I know I can grow and find my purpose, my method in God here. Because I know I need to be somewhere. I just can't float around. If that's you, elevate your hand if you're looking for a church home. Love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. We don't have members here. We have family here. This is our family. Treat it as such. Love as such. I thank God to have a church family. Oh, Lord, we love you on today. You're great and greatly to be praised. I'm going to ask my sister to come up. Sister Lisa, come on up, please. I want to pray for you right here. Come on up, my sister. I'm going to ask some of the ladies to come up as well and just surround them. You know how we do it here. Surround them with the love of God. We cover them. As they come up for rededication, was it Julia?
Carrie. Julia's my daughter.
Julia's your daughter. And Carrie, did you come up for membership as well?
Or just rededication?
Amen. You got it.
I need something.
Amen. You come to the right place. If you would, just lay hands on the ladies that have come up. Lord, how we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
That you are our something.
Yes.
That you're everything, Lord. You are a provider, you are a healer, you are peace. Mm-hmm. You are a guide, you are a comforter. You are direction.
Yes.
You are a savior.
Thank you, Lord.
You are our God. So I thank you, Lord. My sisters that have come up for rededication, Lord. And God, we all need to rededicate. If we're honest, we need to rededicate daily. Each morning we get up, say, God, I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. God, forgive me of my sins, Lord. Help me to get it right today. So, Lord, as they come up for rededication, we're praying for them, Lord. We know that your word says that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Your word says that there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, Lord. So I thank you for forgiveness of sins, and I'm praying for my sisters, Lord, that you don't condemn them, so don't let them condemn themselves. They understand that the new mercies greeted them this morning. They woke up this morning and goodness and mercy was right behind them. That you've cast their sins in the sea of forgetfulness and you remember them no more. You removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And we thank you, Lord, because the east and west doesn't come together. North and south meet at the South Pole, but east and west never meets again. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We cover our sister and her daughter. And we thank you for them being here today.
Yes.
Cover Lisa and her family.
Yes.
So Livia, her mom, her brother, sister-in-law, kids, brother-in-law. Lord, we cover them and their families, Lord. As they strive to walk closer with you, lead, guide, and direct them.
Yes.
Let them wake up each morning thanking you, spending time with you, and then going on about their day. We love you on today, Lord. We thank you for the spirit of rededication that's in this place. We all want to be better in 2015 than we were in 2014. We want to draw closer to you in 2015, much more closer than 2014. Want to trust in you. I pray for a spirit of trust. Let them trust you. Depend, commit. Have faith in you. Deal with issues and circumstances, but their faith is in you, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for it, Lord, that it's already done. As we surround them now, we'll continue to surround them with love and with prayers. We'll have their back and we won't have a knife in our hand. We got the love of God with goodness and mercy following them. We love you, Lord. We thank you and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet. We thank God that He's come that we might have life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you, my sister. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
And you said Cynthia or Carolyn?
Carrie.
Carrie, got you, Carrie. Hey, what school you go to, Julia? Which one, in L.A.?
No, right here.
Oh, okay, so you're fifth grade then?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What's the middle school that she goes to? She'll go to?
I'm trying to figure out here.
Oh, because they have sixth grade.
Yeah.
Okay.